up. Get it.
Welcome back to Matt Finn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the Proud Boys, back in the news. Proud Boys back in the news, not in a good way. Not in a good way. Some hopeful news and then some news to watch out for. The hopeful news is this. The prosecutor for Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. has two prosecutors. One of them is the U.S. attorney, just like any area has. And the other one is the equivalent of a district attorney in, if it were a state. It's not a state right now, technically, but it's like a state. So they have a district attorney type guy, a prosecutor, who prosecutes matters relating to what happened in Washington, D.C. And the U.S. attorney is a federal attorney. I mean, in an odd way, they're both federal attorneys because it's still a federal protectorate. But in any event, they split it up that way. Well, he has brought suit. He has brought suit against the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers for damages resulting from the insurrection. The insurrection happened right there in Washington, D.C. It caused a lot of damage. It caused a lot of physical damage. It caused a lot of damage to employees, to police officers, caused a lot of damage, medical care, people out on leave, people with emotional problems afterwards, and the police force and so forth. And the damages will be large. They'll be in the millions of dollars. And this is like the lawsuits that were prosecuted against the Ku Klux Klan. One way that the Ku Klux Klan was shut down around the South and actually around the whole country was bankrupting them. In other words, they do this, they burn down a town, they hang a lot of people. Okay, great. Well, not only are they going to get prosecuted, but they're going to pay up. And they always have bank accounts and they always have some kind of organization and you put them out of business. Well, now the district attorney, he's the equivalent of the district attorney because it's not technically a state, in Washington, D.C., has brought suit against the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Both of them, both of those groups going after their bank accounts, any property they have and all of that, shut them down as a result of what they did in the insurrection. And I think that is long overdue. The insurrection, you know, is coming up on a year old. It's long overdue. Well within the statute of limitations, of course. And that is one way to stop these groups. Pardon me. One way to stop these groups. Now, the bad news is that the Proud Boys are starting to morph out. It's very similar to a virus. A virus will mutate and it'll do different things. We've seen the Delta virus, the Omicron and all this. The Proud Boys are now concentrating on disrupting school boards and town councils. Now, before they swung for the fences, they went for the big time, go to Washington, D.C., try to murder Mike Pence, the vice president, try to murder Nancy Pelosi, try to murder any congressman they can get their hands on, set up a gallows, kill people, and overturn the government. And that's swinging for the fences, and they lost. They lost. What they are doing now is a strategy of the local level. School boards, town councils, and that's a term that's used in other states, not so much ours, but around here, you could talk about county boards, you could call it common council, aldermanic boards, that kind of thing. Last month, the Proud Boys showed up in Beloit to protest a school masking requirement. Then they went to North Carolina to protest. Then they went to Downers Grove, Illinois to protest certain books in the school library. In Connecticut, and this is a sad story, this was not the Proud Boys themselves, but there was a school board meeting over the question of whether the Native American mascot should be replaced and the Native American symbol should be replaced. The school was named, and it was a public school in Connecticut, high school with the Tomahawks, and the school board voted to change it to the Guardians. And then the symbol for the school had been a tomahawk. And the school board voted to change it to a helmet. Guardians, helmet. This was done by Zoom meetings during COVID. And in the first in-person meeting, believe it or not, I can't believe this, angry parents show up and demand a return to the term tomahawks and to the tomahawk symbol. And the school board members said, well, you know, we've debated this. There was an opportunity for public comment. Yes, it was by Zoom, but, you know, there was COVID. And the feeling was among these people who were protesting this that, well, it's different in person. And one of them walks up to one of the school board members. I think it was an officer. I believe it was the vice chair. Slugged him in the face as hard as he could. The guy went down. The guy was 57 years old, and he gets slugged in the face. Thank God he was not really badly hurt. The parent who did that should be arrested. And I don't know if he did it. It just happened, but I don't know if he is or not. Should be arrested. He should get jail time. That is assault and battery. That should be felony assault and battery. You hit somebody who's 57 years old in the face as hard as you can, he can get a subdural hematoma. He can hit his head on the ground. And enough's enough. This is happening all over society. 17% of flight attendants have reported that they have been struck physically or pushed physically. That's got to stop. That's got to stop. Women have been slugged in the face on planes. School board members have been slugged. That's got to stop. One way to stop it with airplanes is to say, if you strike a flight attendant or crew or anybody, you are on the no-fly list. First offense, 5 years. Second offense, for life. You will be prosecuted, and there will be mandatory jail time. Depending on the severity of the injury, a year or 2 years in jail. You'll end up losing your job. I understand all of that. There has to be a lesson. Routinely now, people get on planes, and in their carry-on, they'll have a loaded weapon. They'll say, oh, I'm sorry. What do you mean you're sorry? Oh, I forgot. They had a guy on a flight last week who, when he landed, it turned out he had a loaded weapon in his pocket. They didn't catch it. You can't catch everybody coming through those metal detectors. There's got to be a clear answer. If you have a weapon in your carry-on, you will go to jail and be on the no-fly list. Now, what they do is they give them a warning or they give them a traffic citation. What's to prevent ISIS from just trying to slip that through? And when they get through, they'll have guns in the plane. This has got to stop. And school board members can't have people cursing at them, much less punching them in the face. But this is what is happening. That these people so far have not been Proud Boys. We talked about the Proud Boys, but the Proud Boys are starting to foment all that. They're showing up at school board meetings. They're showing up wanting books out of the library, posing masks, vaccination requirements. They're doing it in a way, and this is entirely different because the Federalist Society is not affiliated with the Proud Boys and they're not a violent group. And in fact, you know, a lot of the things that they've said have, resonated in society, but they started at the local level. They didn't start swinging from the fences. You penetrate at the local level, and that's what's happening. Be very aware of that at school board meetings, aldermanic meetings, county board meetings in Wisconsin. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Gonna sock it to me now. Ah!